Jim Boughton died last week. The former Major League pitcher compiled a very respectable record during his career pitching for the Yankees, the Pilots, the Astros, and the Braves. But what really put Jim Boughton on the map, as it were, was his 1970 insider's book about baseball called Ball Four. It was kind of outrageous in its day, kind of tame by today's standards, I suspect, but it really established Boughton as something more than just another jock. Well, I met him 25 years ago this week, after he'd published a novel about baseball, of course, called Strike Zone.
I should say how much fun it was to write a novel. I've never written a novel before. And, you know, I
despite
never,
the fact some people said Ball 4 was more
Ball
fiction than nonfiction.
Exactly. I was accused of writing fiction back in 1970 with Ball 4. But I had always thought of myself as more of a reporter. I always thought Ball 4 was a reporting job. I had a good eye, and I paid attention, and I wrote notes, and the book was really talked into a tape recorder, so it doesn't really qualify me as a writer. And a novel, I always thought, was beyond me. And I really found it very freeing and liberating to write a novel, because I realized I can write anything I want. My character can walk down the street. Suddenly a thought pops into his head. He makes a right turn. The door opens up. The telephone rings. A car comes on. I mean, just anything can happen. And
nobody gets sued.
And nobody gets sued. Exactly right. So it was, and it was fun, too, because what I was able to do is put myself in my character's shoes. And then I was able to experience, so I really actually forced myself to experience the emotions that a pitcher, my character, would feel in that situation. I would stand in his shoes and I would look around. What am I seeing? What am I hearing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? The emotion would come up. I would write from that emotion. It was very much like an actor going through sense memory exercises. I was creating these emotions to create the motivation for what an actor does. I was doing the same thing from a writer's point of view, and that was
seems to have worked.
It was a lot of fun, and it was tiring also. I could only write about 4 or 5 hours in the morning, and then I would have to quit. I couldn't write all day. It was a tiring experience.
Needed a relief man to come in.
Yeah, exactly. A relief writer.
That's right.
And this book, I think, allows the reader to get inside the mind of a ball player. What's it like the night before the game? How does he get to sleep? What's it like when he wakes up in the morning? What is he thinking about? What does that feel like? Going to the ballpark, there's tremendous responsibility and pressure. You walk out to the mound, you don't have it warming up. You don't have your best pitch. It's not working for you. What do you tell yourself on the mound? You get runners on base. Base is loaded. The umpire's not giving you the calls. You don't know why. You think it may be you're not good enough to be in the big leagues. What do you tell yourself? So this, I think, gives the reader a chance to get inside the head, inside the mind of a professional athlete.
Well, thank goodness you had to make up that part and just imagine that part about being cut, because you'd never been cut by a team.
Oh, been cut in many, many creative ways. And one of the most humiliating things for an athlete is that once a management decides they no longer need you, you cease to be a human being as far as they're concerned. They just are so cavalier about how they tell you. It is not uncommon for ball players to pick up the morning newspaper and see their picture and the fact that they've been traded, or a sports writer tells them. Or I've seen cases where the clubhouse boy will tell you that you've been cut. I've seen situations where in spring training, the whole team comes in after a workout, and everybody that's going north has a bag in front of their locker that's all packed with their equipment. And if your bag isn't packed, see you later. You're not on the team. And it's the strangest thing. But, baseball has changed for major leaguers, but it has not changed for the minor leaguers. To them, you're just a piece of meat. Somebody needs a pitcher in Albuquerque for 3 weeks, call up Sam Ward. You know, never mind that he just arrived in Buffalo from Tacoma.
You really have to love the game, then, to stay in it, on the off chance that someday you'll crack the show.
The worst thing that can happen in professional sports is for you to be almost good enough. Because if you're not good enough, clearly, then you can get out of the game and move on with your life. Go back to college, start your own business, take that job at the plant or whatever. work for Dad. But if you're close enough, and you're so close, you're almost making, you're so close, you keep going back year after year, and now you've got so much time invested in it. You're like the poker player who has so many chips in the pot, you can't fold, you know, you have to stay in there. I've seen there are minor leaguers who are in their mid-30s who just can't give it up. And
it's a heck of a way to make a living.
It is. It's. But, you know, there are some guys who love it so much and who are so close they just can't. They tell themselves that, they can't, you know, give it up.
But, you know, you keep forgetting, there are umpires in the minor league, too. They're going to those same ballparks in front of those same crowds of 912 people.
It's tougher for an umpire than it is for a baseball player. At least a ball player has the companionship of his teammates. He can usually find one or two guys to hang out with. But an umpire travels around the circuit with three other guys. If you don't like the three guys or you don't get along with them or have nothing in common with them, you're all alone. Nobody buys dinner for an umpire. You know, nobody takes an umpire out for a few drinks after a ball game.
And plus, umpires get all the leftover groupies.
That's right. You get the remains. And, you know, if you call a bad game, everybody knows it and reminds you about it. If you call a good game, you're anonymous. You're like, you weren't even there. You were like...
I can't recall the last time I walked away from a ballpark, people saying, boy, wasn't the officiating good tonight.
Yes. Boy, they sure did a good job umpiring back there. So it's no, it's not fun being an umpire. And
I'll tell you something. When I first got the book, before I started reading it, I thought perhaps it was a clever pun on the idea that we're going to have another strike this season. We're right on the verge of another walkout. What is this now, the fifth or sixth one in the last 20 years? And I didn't know how topical your book was intended to be at that point.
No, it just turns out that the name Strike Zone has the word strike in it. It turns out to be, at this point, maybe a very propitious, is that the proper word, title, because people are going to walk into a bookstore and say, hey, that's about the baseball strike. Or they might say, forget strikes. I'm not interested in strikes. I don't want to read that book. But no, it's not about the strike. It's about the little space that you have to throw a ball. That little slot that looks like a mail slot sometimes when you're struggling out there. It doesn't seem very big when you're standing 60 feet away. That little, the distance, the width of home plate, about 17 inches, and then the distance between the knees and the belt. And
but I would guess to the batter who isn't getting the calls his way, that strike zone looks about as big as an aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah. It's a big, it's too big for the batter, and it's too small for the pitcher. That's always the way it is.
Actually, I was going to ask you about the work stoppage idea. Does it amaze you the way it amazes me that year after year, whenever we have one of these, everybody says, oh, it's going to kill baseball, it's going to kill the sport, and then we come back and they set records again the next year for attendance?
Well, sure, because people don't... Being people like to watch baseball games. It's a wonderful game. It's a beautiful game. It's such a wonderful game, it can't even be screwed up by the owners. Not even those guys can screw it up.
Jim Boughton was 80 years old when he passed away last week. I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.